Well, hello, and welcome to the iFormRx podcast, where we explore the evidence that informs ambulatory care pharmacy practice. This is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx. Patients with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or more commonly referred to as COPD, are prone to acute worsening of their pulmonary symptoms. And these exacerbations not only are debilitating, but also accelerate the decline of lung function, result in hospitalizations, and ultimately lead to death. While preventing exacerbations is the ultimate goal, when symptoms worsen, it's important to quickly identify and mitigate the cause. However, this is easier said than done. In some cases, less than optimal adherence to treatment is the cause, but in the majority of cases, 70 to 80% of the time, an upper respiratory tract infection is the trigger. Thus, antibiotics are frequently prescribed when a patient with COPD has worsening symptoms. But respiratory tract infections are caused by bacterial pathogens in only about 50 to 60% of the cases, and viral pathogens in most other cases. So, when a patient presents with increasing shortness of breath, there really is no easy test to figure out which of these culprits is the most likely cause. Thus, antibiotics are nearly always prescribed, even though they aren't necessary in perhaps 50% of the cases. This leads to overuse and antimicrobial resistance, making it more difficult to successfully treat future episodes. And it is in this context that researchers in the UK examined a novel approach using a simple bedside test to assist clinicians make an important treatment decision. And here to talk about the study with me today is Brittany Schmidt from South College School of Pharmacy in Knoxville, Tennessee. And together with her colleague, Don Branham, Dr. Schmidt wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled Using CRP in COPD to Guide Treatment Decisions During Exacerbations. Well, Brittany, it's great to have you on the iFormRx podcast. Welcome.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Brittany, before we talk about the study you reviewed in your iFormRx commentary, I'd like to start with a case that I think is pretty typical. I want you to imagine you are in a family medicine clinic and you're routinely consulted by the physicians and nurse practitioners about antimicrobial prescribing. So one of the nurse practitioners catches you in the hall and asks your advice about what antibiotic you'd recommend. The patient is a 59-year-old Caucasian male with a longstanding history of COPD and was hospitalized 3 months ago during an exacerbation. The patient's shortness of breath has been worsening over the past 2 days despite increased use of albuterol inhaler at home. Thus, the patient made an urgent care visit in the family medicine clinic today. The nurse states that the patient was treated with IV cefuroxime during his hospitalization and was given a course of sulfamethoxazole trimethoprim during a similar episode a couple of years ago. What kinds of things are going through your mind in a case like this? What additional information would you need? And what antibiotic, if any, would you be considering at this time?
Well, it sounds like he's having an acute exacerbation of his COPD. And so I would like to ask more about his current symptoms. He's having worsening shortness of breath, which is one of the cardinal symptoms of an acute exacerbation of COPD. But I want to assess whether he's experiencing either of the other two cardinal symptoms, increased sputum production or increased sputum purulence. I also want to know about any potential sick contacts he may have. Has he been exposed to any viruses or things at his work or within his home? I also want to know if he has a fever. I want to know some more information about this hospitalization that he had for an acute exacerbation of COPD 3 months ago. At that time, did he require mechanical ventilation? If so, that would increase his risk for certain types of infections. I also want to know more to be able to assess the severity of this exacerbation, to be able to see if he can be managed as an outpatient or if he's going to need some inpatient treatment. Some things that might help me do this would include more information like his respiratory rate and his pulse ox. I also want to know more about if he's having any signs and symptoms of confusion or drowsiness. Again, things that might make me more likely to recommend he be treated as an inpatient. Finally, I want to know more about this patient. What medication allergies does he have? Does he currently smoke? What is his current COPD regimen? And how has his adherence been? Is he on oxygen therapy at home? What other medical conditions does he have? And lastly, has he had any immunizations? So looking at all this information and based on the current GOLD guidelines, antibiotics would be recommended if he has increased sputum purulence along with either increased dyspnea or increased sputum production. If antibiotics are prescribed, the decision of which antibiotic to select is going to be based to make sure that we cover some of the most common pathogens that can cause COPD exacerbations. These would include H flu, MCAT, and strep pneumo. Often macrolides or tetracyclines such as doxycycline are recommended. But again, our decision of which antibiotic to use is really going to be based on local resistance patterns.
So Brittany, let's talk about the study you reviewed in your iFormRx commentary. The study was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in July 2019, and it's entitled C-reactive protein testing to guide antibiotic prescribing for COPD exacerbations. Now, for those in our audience who haven't read that paper yet, can you give us a brief synopsis of the study design and its major findings?
Sure. So this study was conducted at multiple outpatient clinics in the UK. It was a randomized, controlled, open-label study, and patients age 40 years and older with a diagnosis of COPD who presented to a participating study center with symptoms consistent of an acute exacerbation of COPD were eligible for the study. They needed to have at least one of the three cardinal symptoms, either increased dyspnea, increased sputum production, or increased sputum purulence to be included in the study. And patients were excluded if they had severe symptoms or had symptoms that required hospitalization. So once the patients were included, they were randomized to either the CRP guided group or the usual care group. And if the patients were assigned to the CRP guided group, clinicians were encouraged to perform a point of care CRP test. While not required, they were encouraged to perform the test prior to deciding whether or not to prescribe antibiotics. The clinicians in this group were also provided information about how to interpret these results and if antibiotics were likely to be beneficial based on the testing results. For a CRP level less than 20 milligrams per liter, they were told that antibiotics were not likely to be beneficial. If the CRP test result was above 40 milligrams per liter, they were instructed that antibiotics were likely to be beneficial. And for levels in between 20 milligrams per liter and 40 milligrams per liter, they were instructed that antibiotics may be beneficial, but they were particularly beneficial if sputum purulence was present. And so while the prescribers were encouraged to use this point of care CRP testing to guide the decision on whether or not to use antibiotics in this group, the clinicians still had the autonomy to decide whether or not to prescribe the antibiotics. And in both groups, they were really instructed to base their decision to prescribe antibiotics or not based on the patient's signs and symptoms. So for this study, there were two primary outcomes, and the first was patient self-reported use of antibiotics for an acute exacerbation of COPD within 4 weeks of randomization, and the second was COPD-related health status, which they measured with the clinical COPD questionnaire, and they did that 2 weeks after randomization. And their purpose of having these two primary outcomes was really to ensure that if less antibiotics were prescribed in one group, that it didn't negatively impact the patient's health status. Secondary outcomes included a number of items, including the prevalence of resistant pathogens in sputum, antibiotic use for any reason within 4 weeks, and adverse effects from antibiotic use. But these secondary outcomes were actually not adjusted for multiple statistical testing. So for the result, less patients in the CRP guided group self-reported antibiotic use compared to patients in the usual care group. 57% of patients in the CRP guided group self-reported antibiotic use compared to 77.4% in the usual care group. And then the self-reported health status was similar between the two groups, but did favor the CRP guided group.
So, Brittany, what do you believe are some of the key strengths and weaknesses of the study? The study was conducted in the United Kingdom, so do you think the interventions can be practically implemented in clinics in the United States? Is this something that a community pharmacy, for example, could feasibly do?
So some of the strengths of this study are definitely its real-world approach. It maintained the autonomy of the clinicians as they decided whether or not to prescribe antibiotics for an acute exacerbation of COPD, which really helped to increase the study's external validity. Another strength was that use of the two primary endpoints. While we want to see if this approach can reduce antibiotic prescribing, we also need to ensure that if it does reduce antibiotic prescribing, that it doesn't lead to increased patient harm. So it was definitely good that they included both of these as primary outcomes. The primary outcomes were all self-reported by the patients. All patients, regardless of group, were asked to self-report antibiotic use, and they also self-reported health status through use of the clinical COPD questionnaire. This can be seen as a limitation because it is subject to recall bias, and other bias may have been introduced because it was an open-label trial. So while this could decrease internal validity, it does help to increase the external validity because it accounts for patients using antibiotics outside of those that were prescribed by study clinicians. We all unfortunately know that some patients that may keep antibiotics if they don't finish all of them or just have antibiotics at home that they use, or some of these patients may have sought other healthcare providers to prescribe antibiotics. So by having the patient self-report antibiotic use, it really accounts for this use outside of the antibiotics that were prescribed by the study clinicians. Another one of the limitations of this study is that it did exclude patients with more severe symptoms and patients who required hospitalization for their acute exacerbation of COPD. So the results really aren't generalizable to this group, again, which is another limitation of the study. While there are some limitations with the study, I think probably some of the bigger challenges is potentially implementing this in the United States. Currently, the point-of-care testing device that was used in this particular study is actually not available in the United States. Another potential barrier to implementing this in the United States is seen in concerns about reimbursement. Surveys of U.S. clinicians have noted concerns about adopting point-of-care testing due to concerns about reimbursement for these tests. And I think one of the biggest barriers is that currently point-of-care CRP tests are not actually CLIA waived tests. So currently they cannot easily be performed in a community pharmacy setting. Now, if that were to change, I think that would definitely be a great opportunity to engage community pharmacists and really to potentially start a collaborative practice agreement by allowing the pharmacist to perform these tests and then make decisions on whether or not to prescribe antibiotics based on that. But like I said, unfortunately right now, point of care CRP tests are not CLIA waived tests.
So Brittany, let's return to our case. Recall the nurse practitioner would like to prescribe an antibiotic. So assuming the patient also had other symptoms consistent with a COPD exacerbation, would getting a CRP test really help to make a treatment decision? And if the test result was 26 milligrams per liter, would you recommend antibiotics be used? And if so, what antibiotic would be the best choice, including the dose and duration of therapy?
I think a point-of-care CRP test is another tool that can really help strengthen the decision on to prescribe or not prescribe antibiotics, but it's really not a substitute for gathering a complete patient history. So if the patient we were talking about earlier had a CRP level of 26 milligrams per liter, I would look back to see if he had sputum purulence. If he did not have sputum purulence and had the CRP level, I would think I would be in favor of not recommending an antibiotic and simply recommending increased albuterol and prednisone therapy to treat his acute exacerbation of COPD. Now, if I did decide not to recommend an antibiotic, I would want to ensure that the patient is well educated on how to continue to monitor their symptoms at home and may actually decide to follow up with this patient in a few days by telephone to really check in on them. Now, if he did have sputum purulence and a CRP level of 26 milligrams per liter, I think I would recommend an antibiotic for him, in addition to also recommending increased albuterol and prednisone. The decision on which antibiotic to select would really be based, again, on that on your local resistance patterns. But I might consider something like doxycycline 100 milligrams by mouth twice a day for 5 days for him. Currently in the GOLD guidelines, when you do decide to recommend antibiotics, they typically recommend about 5 to 7 days of antibiotic therapy.
Well, Brittany, I want to thank you so much for joining me today to discuss the use of CRP to make better informed treatment decisions in patients with a COPD exacerbation. I think it's clear from your comments that you believe CRP testing is a useful tool to augment the decisions and that it would be great to have more widespread use of the test. Unfortunately, there are certain barriers, such as reimbursement for the testing and the fact that CRP testing isn't yet CLIA waived, so it's not going to be widely available in all sorts of settings. Well, tell us what you think. Have you already started using CRP in your practice to guide antibiotic treatment in patients with COPD? Do you see this as a potential service that community pharmacists under a collaborative practice agreement might be able to implement. Remember, only iFormRx members can leave comments and access our growing list of resource pages. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free, so sign up today. And if you are a board-certified ambulatory care pharmacist, I've got some great news. iFormRx is partnered with the American Pharmacists Association to offer this commentary and podcast for board recertification credit. To learn more about APHA's Ambulatory Care Board Prep and Recertification Program, click on the link at the bottom of the written commentary posted on the iFormRx website. And lastly, a special thanks to the many volunteers who make iFormRx possible. A big shout out to Daniel Longyear with Geisinger in Pennsylvania. Dan has been our social media editor for the past 3 years and has made numerous contributions, including writing commentaries, recruiting authors, maintaining a resource page, and doing lots of peer reviews. So thank you, Dan. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.